Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Reality NSFW. It's the off season, Survivor season 41, no more. So we are going to be talking about some what if scenarios. I'm one of your hosts, Lauren Pratt, along with Dan Monchel and Alex Trias. And today we are going to be talking Survivor What If, the rise of fair play and the fall of poverty. And guess what? We have one of the people that is in this title joining us today. And well, who is it? The great Johnny Fairplay.
It's Parvati.
For those of you listening, it's Parvati. My voice got deeper. That happens in divorce. So I'm here to tell you, if Fairplay had voted me out, shit wouldn't have worked out.
or she's at your house right now and just waiting to come and join this podcast.
She's not at my house, I assure you. For those of you just listening, it is Johnny Fairplay. It is not Parvati, and she is not here, I promise.
So if we're getting right into it, Johnny, you are obviously on Micronesia. And
was I?
Well, some say, rumor and innuendo, as rumor you like to and say. Innuendo.
I will say this. I've only watched the episode one time ever, and I didn't enjoy it.
Right.
And holy moly, for a one episode edit, did I get like 98% of the airtime? Jeez.
They wanted to make sure that they got as much fair play in as they possibly could.
I would have been disgusted if I was a fan, because it's Micronesia's fans versus favorites. And if I were a fan, I would have hated my, like, at the reunion, I would have been like, fuck you.
Right.
Like, why you went home? Like, why did you get all that airtime?
Well, the way I always see it is like when you take a step back, you look at the cast, you see who they picked as the favorites. Like, it's like no offense to the people that they casted for that season, because like at that point, which China, I don't think was it aired yet by the time you guys were filming?
I think they saw a couple episodes beforehand, but they had no idea who the winners were, right?
Well, yes and no. So we got out there, we left right before the episode where James went home with two idols.
Okay.
Okay, so but I had a guest, you know, because I saw people in Los Angeles when we were finishing casting. So I looked up, I think it was on Reddit, and I found out that James went home with two idols. So I immediately confronted him with that, and he said, oh, yeah. And then we were instructed by production that Amanda and James could not tell us how they did on China. That would be a break in confidentiality, and we were not allowed to ask. And if we were to ask, they could not tell us. And so I was like, I have no problem with that. We're going to go on the assumption that Amanda won and she's our first boot. You're a previous winner. And she goes, I didn't win. And production's looking there like, what the fuck? And she's like, I didn't.
Smart move on her part, though, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, right. So that's how that went down. So no, I looked up the James thing, and you know, we had talked about it. He laughed about it. He was just like, "Of course, I. Why wouldn't I go home with two fucking idols in my pocket?"
Right.
And he explained, you know, how they, you know, all that, and then yeah, Amanda just, you know, she was just like, "Yeah, like I didn't win."
Okay. Yeah, but like you look at the cast and you see like who are the favorites are, and if you just like eyeballing, you're looking at, well, who are the biggest, like who has made the biggest impressions on the show by that point? It's like you can say like fan appeal. There was the James Clement thing, because wasn't he like the America's favorite player for that season?
Whatever. Yeah.
So there's notoriety there. Yao Man, just because of recency of Fiji, everyone, like he was like a big hero for a lot of people seeing Yao Man do what he wanted to do. We know other things happen on this season with Yao Man, but then there's you, who you just like, you were just like a huge, to me, like looking at you, like you were a huge step up over the rest just by just notoriety. Just like the name Johnny Fairplay will speak volumes before any of the other names that were shown to us as contestants.
Yeah, I agree with that. But at the same time, I don't think they understand what like game changers, like Haley Ford is not a game changer. She seems like a pleasant person. I understand this, you know, secret love affair of the fandom with Haley. I don't get it, but I kind of get it. It's fine. I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, Dan.
But you had Probst saying, you know, it's just like, hey, this season's game changers. You know, these are the most revolutionary players in the history of the game. And it's also people, if they had the opportunity to play the game differently. And I'm like, that's not what game changer means. So you're fucking shoehorning in some, you know, it's like a shitty song with fucking like eight extra words shoehorned into a fucking line that don't belong there. So, and the same with fans versus favorites. I mean, the fans, half of them were fucking recruits. They weren't fucking fans. So, I mean, like, if you really want to do fans versus favorites, you know, as far as the fans, have some fucking nerds that are going to fucking just get fucking demolished and just be like, hey, stop saying you want to be on Survivor. So that's what I want to see on that part. And for the favorites, I'm not a fucking favorite.
Right.
I mean, I think over time I became a favorite, but at that time I was still hated.
Yeah, I would argue like the two biggest favorites going into the season were probably Ceri and Ozzy.
Yeah. Yeah. So and Ceri was even on the bubble at that point. So and you know, look what Ceri became. I think Ceri has become a, you know, top 10 favorite of all time. But at the time, I don't think she was a favorite.
So going into it, you obviously
did Amy and Eliza. No. Stop it.
we had to put Vanuatu in there somewhere.
Love Vanuatu.
Yeah.
So going into it, you didn't know obviously what the theme was till you got out there. I know you said you knew a few days before, but was there anyone else you were expecting out there knowing there was returnees?
So Terry Dietz, I think, was really close, and his wife was calling people for to make alliances. He wasn't. His wife was on his behalf. And someone, I don't know who, called Lynn Spillman. I was just like, hey, I don't know. Like I'm sure this is cool and you're allowed to do this, but like Terry Dietz's wife is calling people trying to make alliances. Like, is that like, are we allowed to do that? Cause I felt like that was kind of against the integrity of the game. Meanwhile, I'm flying to Los Angeles to meet Jonathan Penner and Yao Man to make an alliance and talking on the phone with Eliza on a regular basis.
Well, it's funny you bring up Penner and Yao Man because I really want you to dive deep into your relationship with both of them from, you know, saying that you met up with them potentially before the season and then you get out there on the island with them. So talk about how they were on the island.
Well, so I fly to Los Angeles. Yao Man's supposed to meet us. Yao Man doesn't show up. So I show up for lunch. It's me, Penner, and my manager, Eric Middleman. And so we go for lunch, and we have Yao Man on video call. And so, you know, we talk about, you know, our strategies, you know, what we're planning to do, blah, blah, blah. And so I felt pretty good with that group. As I said, I had been talking to Eliza independently and I liked her. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, as far as a friend going into the game, I felt that Eliza was my closest ally as a friend, but I liked the idea of the three male strategists, myself, Yao Man, and Penner working together. So, that, you know, making into the merge should have been pretty easy. And then once the merge happened, you know, I feel like Rob C invented the quote unquote fluid game. Mm-hmm. And I felt that, you know, I've mastered, you know, I'm not saying I'm any better. I'm not saying I'm any worse. I feel, you know, we're pretty comparable on our fluidity in the game. And so I would have trimmed the fat, you know, once I had, you know, figured out what else I had to work with out right. there. So I thought we were cool. So like minutes into the game, like, you know, once, well, let's rewind. Probst introduces, you know, the favorites and says the game has begun. We go across the water. And so I'm walking with Mikey B, and he denies this to this day, and he a lie. He goes, I'm a big fan. I'm just like, you're a nerd. You're fucking Mark. Walking. He denies it. I mean, Mikey B is one of the coolest motherfuckers I've ever met. I mean, like right now in the hierarchy of who's fucking cool, I got Mikey B cooler than Johnny Fairplay. So I'm not, you know, it's not like the song remains the same. But at the time, he did fanboy me up, and I did blow him off. And because I like, if go back and watch Pearl Islands, I'm the king of morale destruction. I mean, like, I personally attacked every member of the Morgan tribe to destroy their fucking morale so that the fucking challenge is over before they even fucking begin. Like, that's what I bring to the table. So, and then, you know, and you have your people on your tribe going, okay, well, once there's the merge, they'll never be able to work with, you know, he won't be able to work with any of them. And I'm just like, give me 5 minutes. We'll be fine. So, but until you're my friend, you're my enemy.
Right.
Is my philosophy in the game. And I can, and you know, people that might be imperfect. I don't know. It works for me just fine. Cause there's plenty of people all over the fucking world that hate my guts. And they meet, and they're like, Fairplay's actually kind of cool. All right, great. Thanks. I knew that going in. So anyway, so we walk across the water. Everybody's like looking in the woods, and I'm just like, okay, Fairplay, use logic here. The idol has to be somewhere fucking obvious. They're not gonna fucking plant in the fucking woods and have us fucking, you know, dig aimless. That makes no fucking sense. So I look at whatever fucking landmarks are actually there. The only two things are our fucking tribe boats. And then I look on the edge of the boat. There's the fucking idol, one hanging on each boat. And so I grab the idol, and Prop says, that's not the favorite's idol, that's the fan's idol, that I have to get the other idol, which they're the fucking same. An idol's the fucking idol. That should have been one and done. And that, I mean, that pisses me off to no fucking end. And for the record, guess what I was going to do with the idol, guys? Throw it in the fucking ocean, because I hate fucking idols. I was gonna be like, this is what I think of your fucking idol. Go fuck yourself and just fucking throw it in the fucking ocean, like with no one around, as far as I fucking could.
Man, deprived of a great movement.
So that's all I wanted to fucking do with it. So anyway, so Yao Man sees that, you know, that I grabbed the wrong one. He comes. And so 8 days prior to playing Fans vs. Favorites, I was on stage with Danny Bonaducci at the Fox Reality Awards. I jumped in his arms because I had jumped in his arms at a party before. He carried me around for 30 minutes. I thought we were friends. And he purposely threw me over his back, knocked out my front four teeth. I had the first root canal was done that I had emergency dental surgery that night. I think the first night was 7 hours. And I had they did the first root canal on a plate in front of me, or a tray or whatever. And then I went back the next day with Rhino from Survivor. And he actually held my hand. I stopped counting Novocaine shots. I think I had 18 Novocaine shots where I stopped counting. And I had eight more hours of root canals there. My jaw was wired. My jaw was shattered. And you know, and I'm on pain meds. And they're just like, hey, you know, do you think you're going to have a problem with pain meds out here? And I'm just like, well, I hope I don't. And they're like, okay, well, you know, what's your plan? I'm like, well, once the game starts, I'm going to stop. But until then, I'm in fucking pain. I mean, like, you know, we're 8 days removed. That ain't a long time.
Right.
So, and I wasn't taking to be honest with you, like, you know, I was down to, you know, everyone thinks, not everyone, a lot of people had a preconception that, you know, Johnny Fairplay likes drugs. Back in 2005, 2006. And I enjoyed drugs back then, but I was never a pill guy. That was never my thing. I mean, I remember Andy Milonakis is like, hey, I found a deal on Percocets or Vicodin or something. And I'm just like, yeah, you're on fucking TV. They should be free. Why are you excited about a deal? So a deal is don't pay for them. That's a deal. So, but I was never really a pill guy. So that wasn't in my, you know, wiring out there. So I feel that I was fine as far as the pain was concerned. And I had mouth guards made. I had white mouth guards and pink mouth guards made for challenges that I could wear that would protect me. But when Yao Man pushed my head into the side of the boat right there, I was done. I mean, as I said, my jaw was it was wired, it was shattered, and I hit that, and like all the pain that I had felt, you know, 8 days prior, it's just my fucking face is fucking throbbing. I'm dying, and just to give you the severity of how much damage was done prior, and I don't know, you know, what additional damage Yao Man did pushing my head into the side of the boat. I couldn't bite into a sandwich for, I want to say, 6 months after this happened.
God damn.
So that was game over there. So fast forward, we're on the island, we're hanging out, and you know. And I don't hold any ill will towards, you know, Yao Man was going after the idol. I get it. All's fair. You know, I don't feel he purposely tried to destroy my fucking game right there by pushing my head to the side of the boat. I do not feel that's what happened. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he got the idol. It was what it was. So we get on the island. We're talking. And so, you know, I have this pregame alliance, you know, strong three, you know, and allegedly with me, Yao Man, and Pinner. And Yao Man goes, I'm like, Yao Man, I'm like, you know, he's tending the fire or whatever. I'm like, Yao Man, like, what do you like to do for fun? He was like, it doesn't matter. And I'm like, what do you mean? And he goes, this is work. When I play Survivor, that's work. This is not fun. I'm not here to tell stories and be friends. I'm here to work. And I'm just like, so if we make it to the end, we're not going to talk for 39 days about fun. And he goes, no. And I was like, this might be the worst alliance I've ever heard of in my entire life. Fast forward 30 minutes later, Penner pulls me into the woods to talk. And he comes here. It's just like, hey. And I'm like, I was like, so here's what I'm thinking. He goes, shut the fuck up. I call the shots. You do what I say. That's how this is going to go. And I was like, oh, I stand corrected. This is the worst alliance I've ever been a part of. So, yeah, that was my alliance that I flew to fucking Los Angeles to make. A guy that won't talk to me and another guy that will, but only to tell me what the fuck to do.
So with that alliance being that horrible, there's been a lot of speculation that Parvati was going to be the first boot. Is that still what you think would have happened had...
Yeah, even with so while we were on Ponderosa, you know, doing the media stuff, and you know, so we had flown from I flew to Los Angeles to Hawaii to the Philippines to Manila in the Philippines, and the Philippines to Guam, and then we were on the Ponderosa, and I remember in Manila, I was walking. I had a sweatshirt with my hood over my head. I had a stocking cap on and big glasses, and there was like, I mean, tens of I mean, like, you know, probably like 20, 30, 40 people. It was like me and Yao Man walking together, and they were throwing up the Fair Play signs in Manila. And I was like, holy shit. And like when we were, I think we were in Hawaii, we at the layover there, I was on the cover of Life and Style or Us Weekly or the whole Bonaducci thing was on the cover of the magazine. And so it was pretty crazy. So, but so we're doing, when we're doing press before the game, they were like, they had told us, they're just like, you know, everyone's on lockdown. You're not allowed to talk, blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, look, we've already been through this shit. We're fucking grown ass adults. Please treat us like grown ass adults. Okay. We're all of us know each other. You know, we know each other by name. If anyone was going to talk strategy, we've already talked strategy. If no one had talk strategy, we weren't going to talk strategy. Just treat us like adults. Just let us talk. And if anyone does any game talk, everyone will be quiet from then on out. But please do not make us be fucking in silent mode for fucking 4 days. I'm begging you. And they're like, okay. They're like, but once the big wigs get here, you guys have to shut up. But until then, just no game talk. And it's like, okay. So that first night, Ozzy had, he had flown with an ounce of Kind Bud weed. Because like everywhere, every flight that we had, they rushed us through security because, you know, we're famous. So we didn't have to wait in line or anything. So they kept rushing us through security. So Ozzy, you know, knew that and took it. So he flew with an ounce of weed. So he was like, fair play. Do you want to get high? I'm like, yeah. So he had gotten an apple and made a bowl of an apple. And we would go get high. It was so crazy because they were pulling people for confessionals before the game. And the spot that he had is there's a tree he had his apple sitting in that you can see, you know, the fucking hole for the weed was sitting right there by one of the trees they were using to do the confessional. So, but we had blazed a couple times, and I told him because there was no one else. I was just like, you were going to be one of my first boots. I was like, you bought yourself 6 days with this weed. And he is like, are you serious? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, 6 days. I'm just like, you're going to be the first boot. He goes, okay, never mind. So Ozzy's happy about 6 days, you know. And then I remember one night, a bunch of us were watching TV. They have DVDs and stuff. And me and Sari, we stayed up real late watching The Boondocks. She had never seen The Boondocks before. We stayed up, like, just binging a season of The Boondocks. And she's about to go to bed. And she's like, fair play. You all right. We good, you know? And I was like, I know. And so I was opening up, you know, possibilities. And Amy Kuzak, we had met at the Vanuatu finale, and I think I'd grabbed her butt or something. And so she hated she was on her man hating days back then. And so she hated my guts, but I had become friends with Eliza. I used to go to New York and hang out with Ethan and Eliza and a bunch of people. And so Eliza put in a good word with Amy for me. And so she reluctantly started talking to me, and she was just like, are you my new best friend? I was like, I might be. So that's where we're at there. So if I had stayed, the first boot was part. So my alliance, We were all voting. I had the numbers, you know, with my shitty alliance of Yami and Penner and but we had our alliance would have been me, Yaman, Penner, Eliza, Amy, and Sari, and that would have been enough to get it, because we knew Parvati's game. Parvati's game was there to, like, as soon as there would have been any kind of switch or merge, Parvati's jumping with any guy that she can bat her eyes at. And she went walk, like, we went to go get, she was like, fair play, let's go get wood. And she's walk, I have never seen a girl shake her ass in front of me better or more ever in my entire life than Parvati in that little bikini in front of me. And so we got out there. We got out to, you know, wherever we were going to talk. And I kind of, I'm just like, look, I got an America's Next Top Model at home. You ain't what I'm looking for. And we walked back, and that chick walked like a dude. I was just like, what happened to the swinging? Because that ass is doing like this on the way out of here, and it ain't doing that on the way back. But my plan, I was going to stick with the alliance for the first vote. And Parvati would have been the first boot. And then I was going to jump alliance. I was gonna make a new alliance with James, Amanda, Ozzy, Amy, Eliza. When I asked to go, I pulled everyone aside except for Yao Man, and I said, send that motherfucker home next.
Right.
Because at the time I did blame him for shoving my face into the side of the boat. And they all agreed, and the next person voted out of the favorites tribe was Yao Man.
So essentially, like, even it, in a world where we swap you and Parvati as the first boot, you're still in the game. If all else stayed the same, except, like, you take Parvati's spot in these next few rounds, it still would have been, like, when you guys lost again, it was still going to be Yao Man going in that spot.
Yao Man, as I said, I asked for a tribe meeting with everyone but Yao Man. And he goes, I guess I'll go over here. And I'm like, yes, you will. I said, send that motherfucker next. They said, no problem.
Well, because he doesn't want to talk personal talk. So he was only there for business. But I do want to know your relationship with Suri. What would that have been like moving forward in the game? How far would you have wanted her to go with you?
To the end. I love Suri. I still do. So, I mean, like, every time Suri and I have hung, like, the moments we had before the game and during the game were awesome, and every time I've hung out with Suri after the game, I mean, she's just one of my favorite people. So I can't imagine not working with Suri at any point.
Okay. So would you have said, like, among that group of favorites, like, your main people would have ended up most likely being Suri, Eliza, and, like, Amy, just because of the connection through Eliza and your connection you guys made while there?
Yeah, and I think we would have brought in Ozzy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not a bad pick.
I think it would have done some damage. I think initially I would have done some damage with the Parvati vote, but I mean, I could have deflected that on fucking Pinner or anyone else. So, I mean, like, you know, I wasn't too worried about not working with anyone I really wanted to.
Right. And, you know, and the other spin you could have gave him, which is like, hey, I could have sent Amanda home. Like, that's yeah. Who Ozzy was interested in at the time. Like, hey, I'll keep her around for you if you're good with me.
Yeah, yeah. There was noises that first night. So
not surprised.
Yeah. So James and Parvati and Eliza James and Parvati and Ozzy and Amanda.
Hey, that, gotta yeah. do something while you're there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, especially the first night while your breath still smells good.
Right.
And I think on that note, that's a good time to get a word from our sponsors.
All right.
Lucy Nicotine is a company founded by Caltech scientists and former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. Finally, tobacco alternatives that don't suck.
Researched and developed for 3 years to be made for people, not patients. Lucy has created a nicotine gum with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in 3 flavors, wintergreen, cinnamon, and pomegranate. Lucy also has a lozenge with 4 milligrams of nicotine in cherry ice flavor. Each and every flavor actually tastes great and is convenient and discreet. Products can be enjoyed anywhere, on flights, at work, on the go, or even in the gym.
I am so happy that Lucy is sponsoring us. Ever since they came on board, I have gotten no less than 5 of my friends transitioned over to Lucy and put the
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Your cigarettes down. They like the gum. I'm used to seeing the packages all around. This stuff is great, and it's really helping people make much healthier choices. So get on board and join the Lucy movement.
Hey, it's 2021. Get rid of your cigarettes, unplug your vape, throw out your dip, and get some Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges. This is the real deal. A subscription to Lucy comes directly to your door each month. It's so simple that you don't even have to leave your house because Lucy has delivery down.
Reality NSFW listeners, go to lucy.co and use promo code SURVIVOR to get 20% off all products, including gum or lozenges. That's lucy.co and use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Also, I have to give this disclaimer. Warning, this product contains nicotine derived from tobacco. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. That's lucy.co and be sure to use that promo code SURVIVOR.
This episode of Reality NSFW is sponsored by Blue Chew. Say it with us, Blue Chew. Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom by offering chewable tablets that can help men get stronger and longer lasting erections. That's right, we're giving away super hard dicks.
Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets help men achieve harder, stronger erections to combat all forms of ED.
Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor offices, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. And it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And the best part, it's all done online.
BlueChew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? No problem here. BlueChew's Sildenafil and Tadalafil tablets are chewable. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA, and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy.
Hey, if you're looking to give that immunity idol to someone, or you don't want to be voted out of a crater, don't worry. Blue Chew's got you covered. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information.
And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's Blue Chew, BlueChew.com, promo code SURVIVOR to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast.
We're all trying to eat better, but healthy breakfast doesn't have to be boring. Magic Spoon has the amazing flavors you love, but without all the bad stuff. And it's amazing as a midnight snack right before bed.
0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. That's only 140 calories per serving.
It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, and low-carb. And build your own box. Available flavors to build your very own custom bundle are cocoa, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, blueberry, cinnamon, cookies and cream, and my favorite, maple waffle. Now, Magic Spoon recently brought back their two super popular flavors, cookies and cream and maple waffle. Thank goodness. But they're back permanently. And when these flavors were first introduced for a limited time, they sold out extremely quickly. Now, I'm here to let you know you can get them again or try them for the first time. Why? Because they're delicious and indulgent.
Johnny, Magic Spoon has so many great flavors that I really enjoy, and even my kids enjoy them. We have the cocoa, fruity frosted, peanut butter. All these are really great combinations. They enjoy waking up in the morning and getting some Magic Spoon right off to start their day great before they head off to school. I think everybody listening should give Magic Spoon a try, or if you've tried them already, it's time to reorder. Let's get you some more Magic Spoon and get your day started right.
Hey, when I finish a podcast late at night, the first thing I'm thinking is not sleep. It's let me grab a delicious bowl of Magic Spoon before I go to bed.
So go to magicspoon.com/survivor to grab a custom bundle of cereal and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code SURVIVOR at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/survivor and use the code SURVIVOR to save $5 off. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this podcast.
And welcome back.
All right, I have a question for you guys. So is Micronesia final three or final two?
It ends final up being two. A final two.
Two.
Okay. So if it's final two, if all things go as planned, I'm taking Suri. If it's final three, I'm taking Amy and Eliza.
Interesting.
So what makes the difference there for you?
Because if I take Amy or Eliza, that's guaranteed one vote for them. And I'm just a numbers guy. Whereas I think if I take Suri, I feel like I get Amy and Eliza's vote.
So in Micronesia, they were all expecting a final three and ended up being a final two. Some people think it was planned, other because of some medevacs late, but they were all going into it thinking they were the final three, and then they had the last challenge.
Yeah. So no, if as I said, just looking back, that's how I would have played it all if all things worked, you know. I mean, I consider Survivor 60% luck. A lot of people say it's more. Whoever says less, you're wrong. But you know,
who would say that?
Idiots. The game's flawed. It's 99% all me.
Isn't that person canceled?
Yes, I'm sure. So I do want to go back to a question. Sam Higdon said, was there a fear that the three Cook Islands people were going to work together? No, Penner was very adamant about getting rid of Parvati. He went on and on about her seductress ways and how we had to prevent that. So he didn't go as far as Brandon Hance, but he definitely put it out there. So there was no Cook Islands people working together as from what I mean, you know, it could have all been a lie, but it didn't appear as such. I mean, I might be completely in the dark on a lot of stuff. I don't think I am. I felt like I had the pulse on what was going on. And I think a lot of people out there would acknowledge that.
So I want to talk about your thoughts on the fans tribe. Who would you have wanted to work with? And then who is an absolute hell no, you never would have worked with them.
I mean, I could have potentially worked with if Mikey B was there. Mikey B says now that, you know, that the conversation in the water never took place and he would have come after me, blah, blah, blah. It did not take long for me and Mikey B to become best friends. I mean, Mikey B was the best man in my when I got married, my best men, because I didn't have a best man. I'm not good at decision making outside of the game of Survivor. But my best men were Ethan, Burton, Mikey B, and Rhino.
Okay.
So me and Mikey B became fast friends, like within seconds of actually meeting. So if Mikey B were there at the merge, definitely Mikey B. Me and Erica Reichenbach were good friends. So, you know, I feel that, you know, Survivor is a microcosm of real life. And if I became, you know, good friends with these people in real life, then I would like to think that I would have become friends with them out there. Tracy and I did not get along on the Ponderosa, but after the Ponderosa and after our excursion to Thailand, you know, Tracy lives or used to live like 2 hours from me. I'd go to Tracy's all the time. I mean, Tracy lives a great life.
I imagine.
Yeah. And she's really cool. But like, I mean, she, you know, from what I see, she was really into game mode. And I don't know if our styles would have clashed or worked together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know. I'd like, we're very similar. So, but the fact that we didn't become friends on the Ponderosa, which, you know, no one's playing the game. No one pre-jury is playing the game on the Ponderosa with the exception of Truck. So Truck and Mikey B were still playing the game on the Ponderosa.
freaking Joel. Yeah. You're telling me you didn't want to work with Joel and Chet?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Well, Chet is one of my favorite people on the planet. I mean, God, you want to go. So, peek behind the curtain. Chet is the four-legged, they're not horses. Like he has, yeah. Him and Joe Exotic are friends.
Hmm.
Oh, wow.
So like Chet is known the Tiger King for like at what they would go to these livestock things and Joe would be there for the tigers and Chet would be there for the yaks and all these other things. So, but the difference is like Chet's farm. I don't think there's dirt on Chet's farm. It is the cleanest. Like it's beautiful. Like the fence around it is immaculate. It's huge. It's like he has country music plays from 2 to 4, talk radio is, I mean, like it is insanity. I mean, it is so beautiful. And then, you know, this, everything is immaculate and at all times there's like 20 peacocks just walking up and down the road. Just, I mean, like, I'm like, of course there is, Chet. So it's amazing. So, and a quick Chet story, Dolly Parton came to visit him, pre-COVID, like right before. And she had, I have to say pre-COVID because she sneezed into a tissue and she threw it on the table. She goes, go sell that on eBay. Make yourself some money, boy.
That's phenomenal. So, Johnny, I do have to ask, because, you know, there's tons of Parvati fans out there.
Sure.
Do you feel responsible for making her what she was?
Because I am.
If you don't get voted out... She's never here as first villain. She's never that icon.
She's never there. Yeah. I mean, I feel she was barely if Parvati wasn't attractive, she's not on Fans vs. Favorites.
I mean, yeah, because like if you think about her Cook Islands game, there's not really much to it.
No.
At least what they show us.
She's hot, yeah. And she flirted.
No, I mean, when people say that they like Cook Islands and they're like, oh, Parvati's on it. Parvati wasn't Parvati on Cook Island. She didn't do anything.
Yeah. So I will say, I mean, like, you know, we're not friends. And, you know, I it's probably mutual or, I mean, it's probably or could be my fault. I'll accept responsibility. I mean, I don't dislike Parvati. We don't click. I mean, you know, right. Not everybody has to be, it doesn't have to be fucking kumbaya. Okay. So we didn't click in the game. We've never clicked outside the game. So I have plenty of friends that are friends with her. So, you know, I think there's probably something to that. I mean, I don't think she's a bad, like, I've never said I think Parvati's a bad person, nor do I believe Parvati's a bad person. Okay. So let me just say that. But I will say, I think Heroes Villains, Parvati played one of the best games I've ever seen anyone in the history of Survivor play. So, and I'll give credit for that all day long. Using Russell as a meat shield, I think it was an amazing strategy. And I think it should have won her $1 million.
Yeah, especially with like just the mindset of what people thought about her by the time she gets to play that third time. Like she had to do that strategy and they still were like, well, you didn't get rid of it. I was like, yeah. Well, why would you?
Why would you? The guy's getting no votes.
The dude is a universal goat and not in the good way.
Yeah. So, no, I think she played an incredible, as I said, in the history of Survivor, I think she played one of the top five games ever in the history of the game on Heroes Villains.
It's always amazing when you think about it. It's like some of the best games to ever play that everyone goes back to are the ones that don't end up winning the game.
Yeah.
It's like your game in Pearl Islands is one of the best ones. Rob in Amazon. Mm-hmm. You say what you will, but Rob in All Stars, Boston Rob in All Stars, but it's just like you time and time again. Suri in Micronesia is like everyone calls like it's one of the best strategic games anyone's seen, and they still don't even show all of what she did in that season because they're focused on whatever Ozzy's doing, you know, or Siska finding a fucking stick,
It's likes on Africa,
yeah. It's like time and time again, you see like the best players come in and they're not the ones who end up even, or at least what fans call the best games.
Yeah. Right.
And they're just not the ones that win it. It's just very fascinating.
But I'm a huge believer in fate and everything happens for a reason. And so, you know, maybe I wasn't supposed to be out there on Micronesia.
You were supposed to be on Heroes vs. Villains.
I was supposed to be on Heroes vs. Villains. So, you know, maybe Parvati was supposed to be on Heroes vs. Villains to show that she's one of the greatest players of all time.
Right. And she had a great game. And I do want to, you know, rewind a little bit. You brought up Terry's name as someone that was going to potentially be out there on the season. Was there anyone else that was maybe supposed to be on the cast? Because we know from All Stars, they reached out to certain people. Those people said no. And that's how you ended up with someone like an Amber on All Stars. And so do you think Parvati was not necessarily their first choice to be on the season, but she ended up because other people said no or declined?
I have no idea. I don't know. I was in the circle that I was in. You know, I know, rumor and innuendo on All Stars, Boston Rob refused to play unless they swapped Parvati and Candace. That's why their outfits didn't match their tribe.
On Heroes versus Villains?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Also, why would you ever call Candace a hero?
Yeah. The last time we saw her, she mutinied her tribe. What is that?
Biggest hero in the game, Candace. Yeah.
But in real life, she is a hero.
But that's not what they're talking about.
That's not what revisionist history there. So no, as far as Micronesia, wondering what the concept was going to be like. So we did, you know, we had 4 days of press and out there on Micronesia and the I can't remember what publication it was. Because they had, you know, People Magazine, Entertainment Week, like, you know, Dalton Ross was out there, all those guys. I can't remember who it was. I don't think it was Dalton Ross because I think he's smarter than this. But whoever it was that interviewed me, they're like, you know, who do you think's on the other island that you're going to you think, you know, Iron Man Tom's going to be out there? Do you think Terry Dietz is going to be out there? I'm like, I think it's going to be a bunch of fans. And they're like, why do you say that? I'm like, because your fucking press placard says Micronesia fans versus favorites, you fucking idiot. And he was like, fuck. And so, and then I went and told everybody.
As you should.
As I should.
Like,
so did you have any, I guess, ways that you were going to change your game from Pearl Islands? Because, you know, you said before that it's probably you and Rob C played the best fluid games that we'd ever seen. And you saw him get picked off really early in All Stars. So was there anything that you were going to do to change it up or just kind of keep going that same route?
I mean, I did a lot of my damage on Pearl Islands via confessional. I mean, you never heard one person on Pearl Islands say, take fair play to the end, anyone can beat him. No one said that. And it wasn't because they thought I was strategically good and or great. I would say great, but, you know, maybe let's just, for argument's sake, let's just say good, you know, what they're thinking. Maybe they didn't know how great I was, okay? But no one didn't like me. So the only person telling you, the viewer, that they didn't like me was me. I'm telling you they didn't like me. I'm telling you I'm the bad guy. So, and Rupert's telling you he's the good guy. We didn't like, Rupert sucked. Rupert had zero social skills. Rupert woke up every morning, complained that no one did anything, and would go out with production with the fucking Hawaiian sling, come back with aquarium-sized fish because he couldn't catch bigger ones. Burton would go out there for 10 minutes and bring back 20 pounds of fish. Rupert would go out there for 8 hours and come back with, like, 15 aquarium-sized fish. It was fucking ridiculous. And then, you know, he'd come back, and Sandra and Chris would be like, oh, you're the best. And it's like... Who else thinks he's the best? Because no one I'm talking to does. So no, I was likable there. I did my damage in my confessionals, and I'm using the term, you know, damage poetically. So I was a likable guy out there. So my strategy for Micronesia was just to be a likable guy. You know, if I was gonna do something on the sly or shady, I would have, you know, told you guys, the viewers, and I would have said mean things about the other people there, but, you know, not necessarily to their face unless I just really didn't like them.
Well, we saw it in Micronesia, that first episode. People want it to work with you. Like, they did not want to vote you out. And so I think that's a testament to your social skills and you getting along with basically everybody.
Well, I went in there with one person that hated my guts on my tribe, and that was Amy Cusack. And I left with her crying, telling me not to leave. I think that's pretty good testimonial as to my ability in the game.
I agree. And like, and let's be honest, if anyone's still, like, anyone who's listening to this still, it's like, this isn't about anyone saying Johnny Fairplay is a bad player because he went out first. It's like, everyone at this point, if they didn't know, now they do know the real reasons as to why you needed to go out at that point.
Yeah, it sucked. Like, I mean, yeah. I was dying in pain. Like I said, when Yaman hit my head, jaw onto the side of the boat, I was like, fuck. And then the next day, I'm like, I need pain meds. And they're just like, oh, I bet you would like that. And I'm just like, yeah, I would fucking like, as I said, there's this I was a party guy. I mean, I was living in fucking Los Angeles. I was partying all the time. I was having a fucking blast. But like, you know, I wasn't like, you know, give me an 8-ball of cocaine and let's fucking do this fucking Sunset Strip style. I was like, give me a fucking anything for my fucking mouth because I'm fucking dying here. So, and there was, you know, this young producer that I'd never met before. And he was just like, I saw James had Nicorette pills. And I'm like, what's that? He was like, oh, well, I couldn't quit smoking. So they gave me those pills so I could play the game. And so I pulled this young producer. I'm just like, hey, man, I'm just like, you're giving that motherfucker who looks like a Greek god fucking Nicorette pills because he wants a cig. But I can't have a fucking aspirin for my fucking jaw. And he was like, no. And I'm just like, then I'm fucking done, dude. I fucking quit. He goes, oh, you're going to say Bonaducci knocked your fucking teeth out? I'm like, no, I'm going to say I'm quitting for love. And they're like, who's going to believe that? I'm like, the same motherfuckers that believe the dead grandma lies. Start filming. Let's fucking go. I was furious, man. And then one of the main producers from Pearl Islands, he wasn't there the first 3 days. So day four, he shows up. He's like, what the fuck happened? He comes over to Ponderosa. He goes, we would have given you fucking pain pills, fair play. You talked to the wrong guy. And I'm just like, well.
It is what it is at that point.
Yeah. So that sucked. I wish Doug had been there. I wish I had said fucking no.
Mm-hmm.
That's the what if moment. Here's the what if moment in the fucking Marvel universe. I wish when they asked me to play, I said yes. And when the Bonaducci thing happened, I wish I had said no, but please bring me back sooner than later.
Right. And I feel like there's definitely a world where they would have done that. Like, it's like, why wouldn't they want to try to get that net, like that other opportunity to have you on the show, just like, if all else, like, just he's the one who lied about his grandmother dying, and like, you get that for the premiere episode of whatever season, probably ends up being Heroes vs. Villains.
But if my face doesn't hit the side of that boat, I'm fine. As I said, right. I got my fucking my things in my mouth guards for the fucking challenges. I'm good.
Right. It's just that.
But why would I think to put them in on fucking fucking intro of the game?
Right.
Maybe someone could have given me an egg. They're just like, hey, there is no reason to have a fucking mouth guard in at that point. No reason.
Right. You're just supposed to be going across the water and searching for an idol and then getting the game started. You're not expecting to be body slammed.
Well, I wasn't body slammed. I mean, he just, you know, checked me into the, as I said, you know, if I gave a fuck about that idol, I probably would have done the same thing. I didn't.
Right.
So once again, what if I wish I wouldn't have fucking seen that fucking idol. Wish I wouldn't have figured it out that it's obviously in plain fucking sight, because why wouldn't it be?
Yeah. And I know that we're running out of time. So I guess, does anyone have any last questions for Johnny before we wrap up?
I honestly feel like we could be talking about this for hours, but I think this leaves us at a good spot for our first episode of Survivor What Ifs. It was a great one to start us off.
I figured it'd be good to stop there before we got on another tangent and went another 20 minutes, because obviously we'd love for Johnny to do that.
How did you guys score this interview with me?
I have no clue.
No idea. And maybe like somebody random slipped into your DMs or something. Well, I don't know.
Sydney Siegel. Sydney Siegel, get out of my DMs.
Yeah. Well, that wraps up our first episode of Survivor What If. Please stay tuned, as we'll have more episodes throughout the off season. And if you are wanting other fixes of other shows, very shortly after this, we'll be talking Challenge All-Stars with myself, Johnny, and Lauren. And become a patron at Reality NSFW. Ad-free, NSFW.com is where you can go to become a patron, where Johnny and Matt are starting their next venture of Australian Survivor.
We are. Season 4. Oh my God. We did the cast assessment last night. And for those of you that have seen season 4 or All Stars, Matt Bischoff saw David Gennett and said that he was an idiot.
Ah,
Matt has the best takes.
Wise man.
Always.
Wise man. Fucking suit Karnak. He's fucking Karnak. So yes.
Never bet with Matt's takes. Never bet.
Yes. Idiot.
But yeah, so they'll be covering that, as well as every week they do a Q&A with the patrons. Patrons send questions about anything and everything. And plus, you'll always get a good little 25-30 minute stories of the week from Johnny and Matt that literally can go anywhere and everywhere.
Yes. So, yeah, give us a try at adfreensfw.com. This month's picks on the Outcast tier are Sylvia Kwan from Fiji, Jack Atkins from The Circle Season 2, Trish from, was it Cagayan?
Yeah.
Yes.
And Ethan Zahn from Africa, All-Stars and Winners at War. So, yeah, so get those autograph picks. I ran into everybody at Hearts Reality a couple weeks ago, so I got some fresh, clean, beautiful autograph picks. That's on the Outcast tier at adfreensfw.com.
And with that, we will see you all next time.